My first impressions of midwifery in Papua New Guinea were that the midwives worked incredibly hard and in a very challenging environment with limited resources and limited staff. So I was amazed by how they could manage to do such a job with so little, really.
So what would your average day look like for a midwife in, say, Port Moresby Hospital?
Port Moresby Hospital would start the shift at 7 o'clock, and then I was working as a clinical midwifery facilitator at one of the universities on the Papua New Guinea Maternal and Child Health Initiative. I was working alongside national educators and students. So I would start my day working alongside them, usually starting in the labour ward at Port Moresby General Hospital, and allocate students to patients, and then work with my national educator to facilitate their clinical learning in the hospital. So it was usually delivering babies, many, many babies. In 1 8-hour shift, we would probably deliver 10 to 12 babies and manage obstetric emergencies like postpartum hemorrhage, obstructed labour, and then at the end of the day, wonder where the time has gone and, oh my goodness, I didn't have something to eat or drink, and then just have a bit of a debrief with the rest of the team, and that's the end of the day. So very, very busy and searching for things. Oh, where are the gloves and where's my medication that I need, and can you please get me some intravenous solution and all these things. So very, very busy days.
So when you're talking about 10 to 12 babies being delivered an hour, how does that compare to your average hospital in Australia?
That was 10 to 12, like, per midwife per 8-hour shift. That's it's very busy. When I was working in Australia, perhaps I'd have one or two babies delivered in my shift, in my 8-hour shift. So to go from 2 to 10 is a big jump. So it's very challenging, and it's hard to prioritise all the needs of all the women plus the learning needs of the student if you're working in an education role. You do the best you can working alongside your counterparts and helping them as much as you can.
So when you're in Australia and you're delivering two births per shift, you're usually spending quite a lot of time with that woman. I imagine that the time is quite stretched between 10 to 12 people in the space of 8 hours.
It's really hard to make that comparison between Australia and Papua New Guinea because the conditions are so different. You know, it's not an equal comparison to make. You're not comparing apples with apples. But you raise a valid point. Like, you don't spend as much time with each woman when you're delivering so many babies. You tend not to spend as much time with each woman because you are so busy and there are other women who need you. So being a professional trained midwife, you know what to look for and you know how to triage and prioritise care. So you do the best you can going from bed to bed and making sure that the women and babies are as safe as you can possibly make them.
But it's not only that. You said you were also dealing with obstetrics care. This is something that, you know, you normally have a doctor to do in Australia.
Yes, that's true. The scope of midwifery is different in every country. And in Papua New Guinea, the scope of the midwives is much larger, is much broader than what I was used to in Australia. The midwives are very skilled at managing obstetric emergencies, often with few medical staff to help you on the floor. So like anything, the more you practice at it, the better you get. So the midwives in Papua New Guinea are very familiar with dealing with emergencies that we would rarely see in Australia. So they become very good at managing all these complications. And it's expected as part of their normal working day. Whereas in Australia, for example, we're lucky to have our obstetric colleagues close at hand, and so we call on them more often for assistance. It's true.
And I imagine this is even harder for midwives who are working in rural areas of PNG.
In the rural areas, often there's just one nurse and a community health worker with no medical officers in the clinic. So they're expected to manage a large range of both nursing and midwifery and medical problems that would that would present. So it's very challenging. Geographically, it's very mountainous. Some of the infrastructure, the roads and the transport are not fully established. So referring a woman from a rural area to a larger city hospital is quite challenging. Sometimes it could take a canoe ride to the nearest island, and then a bumpy road trip, and maybe an aircraft flight to get the woman to a hospital. So the problems with transport and referral are quite immense, actually, in Papua New Guinea. But it's improving, and with resources and support, and things are getting better.
And part of your role, has you said, has been to educate new midwives. I understand that there is actually quite a significant shortage of midwives in PNG.
Yes, that's right. There's only about 300 midwives in Papua New Guinea, and that's not enough to service the population. So the World Health Organization Collaborating Centre at the University of Technology, Sydney, is working together with the National Department of Health of Papua New Guinea to educate midwives, and that involves clinical midwifery facilitators from Australia, New Zealand, and other countries coming in, working alongside national educators to build their capacity in teaching and clinical facilitation and help improve the quality of the midwifery graduates.
This is easier said than done, though. What are some of the barriers in educating midwives?
Oh, there's lots of challenges, but there's lots of positives too. The barriers and the challenges that there's not many nurses also that want to be midwives and that can be freed from their employment to go and study. So sometimes getting the applicants into the universities is challenging. We need to really advertise and promote midwifery and get them in. Sometimes the students that come into the university may not have had a great secondary school education, and so we're needing to improve literacy as well as we're teaching midwifery. So that's a bit of a challenge. In Papua New Guinea, it's got one of the most diverse linguistics in the world, with over 800 languages spoken. So often our students speak English as a third language, so there's challenges associated with that also, because resources are mostly available in English language. And so teaching resources I'm talking about. So the sometimes the university's power source is not always consistent, so we might lose air conditioning or we might lose power for the computers at times, and just day-to-day challenges like that to keep the education sort of consistent. But lots of positives as well. Like seeing the students learn and embrace the midwifery profession. Their eyes light up when they learn something new, and when you see them in the clinical area applying their new knowledge, really helping mothers and being so proud that they've saved lives and are contributing to improving maternal and child health in Papua New Guinea, it's very rewarding.
A big part of the International Day of the Midwife this year is the conclusion of the Millennium Development Goals in 2015. How is Papua New Guinea tracking on the number 4 and 5, maternal mortality and child mortality?
They've improved over the course of the Millennium Development Goal initiative. They haven't met their targets, but a lot of low and middle income countries haven't met their targets. So they were lofty goals to begin with. The post-2015 strategies for improving maternal and child health are being implemented, and government bodies are taking on board the recommendations from the State of the World's Midwifery Report and the Lancet series and another high-level research. So, like, moving on from the Millennium Development Goals, I think there are new tasks to focus on, and Papua New Guinea's National Department of Health are working together with other organisations to meet those targets.
And how important is a midwife to help meet those targets?
Midwifery is very important. Having a midwife and providing good quality maternal and child health care in the cities and in the rural areas helps on many levels to decrease poverty, to increase maternal and child health, increase education status of girls and women. It's vital that the role of the wife is vital to not only the individual but to the community as well. They're saving lives, they're improving the status of women and improving the status of the community as well. Very important.
And just out of interest, are the midwives that you're educating in Papua New Guinea mostly female or mostly male?
They're mostly female, mostly women, but there are men as well. At the university where I was teaching, we had no men in the first year, and in the second year we had four, and I think there's four or five in this last year's batch as well. So men are also interested in studying midwifery.